On this episode of the Talking Bear Football Podcast, recorded September 13th, 2020, Jason, Steven, and Matt discuss the Bears' Week 3 loss to Cascade, preview this weekend's matchup with Wilton, and, of course, give our picks to click. Week 4. We've already played 3 games, Matt, Steven. So, it's week 4 if my math is right.
Yeah, that checks out.
That checks out?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not wearing socks, so yes, you're correct.
Okay. So, it's week 4. Well, let's talk about week 3 and a few other things on the Talking Bear Football Podcast
right here on westbranchfootball.com.
It was a tough one last Friday. So many wonderful moving parts went along with that game. First and foremost, I think we all would like to say a big thank you to Jake Stenberg, Athletic Activities Director for West Branch High School, for he and Kenny Vopperl, they decided the field downtown was a little bit too wet, well, and it was, and found an alternative, which was a wonderful alternative. Solon Community School District said, you know what, we're on the road this week, we'll host you. And man, were those facilities great. The people there were great. They were so helpful. And they brought everything together. And we had a football game Friday, and it was wonderful. Regardless of the outcome, how it got there was a pretty good thing, right?
Props to Jake for working some magic, and props to the Solon Community Schools for letting us come up there and use their facility. We'd prefer to, of course, play at the Little Rose Bowl, but conditions didn't allow for that, and Solon was gracious enough to open up everything to us, and make it as much of a home game for us as possible. Just with that big Spartan there in the middle of the field, but turf field, artificial turf, so didn't have to worry about footing and mud and all that kind of stuff, and just a good, as you said, Jason, just regardless of the outcome, just kind of a good atmosphere, and glad we got to play.
Well, final score, Cascade 21, West Branch 14. Score sounds close, and it was. I mean, if you're doing the math, it's only 7 points apart, and that's a close game. But how we got there is a completely different story. What do you think about that, Stephen Grace?
It's one of those games that when you go back and look at it, you sit there and scratch your head and say, man, why didn't we win by more? Why didn't we lose by more? I mean, it easily could have gone both ways, but, it was one of those where at the end of the night, it was exciting that we were making that comeback. It was just frustrating that we were there because, I mean, 4 different times, we even talked to Coach Hirschman at halftime. He's like, we just have to punch one of these in. We have to just score. And we had 2 missed field goals and an interception and a turnover on downs when we get inside the 20-yard line. And, it's just you come away and you get a little frustrated. And then you throw in a 69-yard touchdown pass and an interception return for a touchdown. And there again, it's just, so many little things that added up that just spelled the difference in that one on Friday night. And, it was frustrating because it could have gone better for us, but at the same time, Cascade had some opportunities and, we were able to make some other plays in different places that really, it could have been a lot worse of a ball game than that too. So, credit the guys. I mean, we talked going into the 4th quarter, we said, we're going to keep playing to win, but really we just want to try to score. I mean, we've just struggled to score last week against West Liberty. We struggled to score here up until the 4th quarter on Friday night. But all of a sudden, we got that first score, and it kind of brought some life back. We got that second score, then we started getting excited, and then we got down and were, again, at the 30-yard line, an opportunity to try to tie that football game up, and we just came up a little bit short. But, it was a fun end to the night, but kind of like we said last week. Now let's see, what did we learn from that? How can we grow from that? How can we get better as we go into, as you've said, Jason, week number 4?
Matt, a similar thing. Let's touch on this and build into it as a kind of add on rather to what Steven said. Same thing as in week 2, West Branch, for the second consecutive week. The opposing team on their first drive turns the ball over to West Branch, and yet the Bears couldn't do anything, couldn't punch it in for any points. But they're knocking on that door.
Yeah, I think that's really been the theme, or that was the theme Friday night, but it's kind of been the theme all season too, is just, you know, we're knocking on that door, but, you know, Jason, as you said at halftime on the Bearcast, you just can't knock it down. We're just kind of, we're not able to finish these drives, you know, specifically Friday night. These kids are doing everything correctly. The coach is doing everything correctly to get set up in the right position to be able to score and, you know, capitalize on the good work that they're doing, you know, essentially between the 20s. But it's just, you know, executing between the 20s, but just kind of missing that execution once we kind of get to the end of the, or get near the end zone. And yeah, as Steven said, like, Friday night could have been a totally different ball game in both directions. You know, if West Branch scores touchdowns in every single time that they get on the other side of the 50, you know, we're talking about something completely different. But here we are, just, you know, talking about, not quite being able to knock that door down. They're doing everything correctly to get themselves set up in this position, and they're doing some really good things out there, but we just kind of need to figure out how to finish. And I think Coach Peterson put it well at the end of the game, talking to Jerry Flegel. He said, "We have to be patient. We're trying to teach these young kids new things." And, you know, talking with Coach Peterson after the game, you know, he didn't seem upset. He liked the effort that these kids put out there. And he understands that it's a young team, a lot of new starters, and they're going to have these bruises like this. But I think the positive thing that we could take away from Friday night is they were putting themselves in that position to succeed. And at the end of the game there, you saw that they still had fight in them. You know, going into that fourth quarter, you're down 21-0. I can't imagine how defeating that is, but it was just really good to see those kids go out there and mount a comeback. And they knew that they were right there all game. They just couldn't quite finish the drives, and that's what they needed to do. And that's what they started to do there right at the end of the game. But it just happened to be, you know, too little too late.
Well, one of the things that, to jump in here again, I mean, one of the things I've been thinking about after watching the film a little bit yesterday and kind of replaying the game in my brain as well. And, you know, if you look at it, West Liberty, we played a pretty clean mental game. No penalties, no turnovers, but we weren't very physical. Well, we addressed that physicality this week, and it felt like we were a lot more physical Friday night. But I think some of that, I mean, we had a roughing the passer penalty. We had a block in the back on a punt return. We had another late hit somewhere. We had some other penalties. And, you know, so then we get the physical, but we lost some of that mental focus. And so it's like, okay, now we need to put both of those components together to really to be able to come to, you know, put this thing and move forward. And I think that's what we started to see in that fourth quarter, is the defense was playing physically, we were doing well, and we were starting to play a lot crisper. We were playing a lot more efficiently and effectively with what we were trying to do. And so, you know, some of those mental miscues early on, you know, Coach Peterson said it after the game, we shot ourselves in the foot, we dug ourselves a hole, we tried to dig ourselves out. So there again, you know, if somebody looks at me and says, wow, 1-2, oh man, this season's just a waste, I don't think so. I mean, this team has a lot in them, and I'm very confident in what they can do in these next four games because of what I've seen over these last 2 weeks, and knowing the types of kids that they are, as soon as they get back onto that practice field on Monday afternoon, or even as soon as they were in watching film Saturday morning, saying, what can we do to learn? What can we do to grow and get better?
One thing I noticed is that a lot of more playmakers are starting to get involved. You know, specifically Friday night, two kids that I'll just single out, Caleb Sexton and Cash Woody. Really good play from both of them, and really good contributions that, you know, we'd seen a little bit from Caleb in the first 2 weeks, but he was an integral part Friday night. Cash Woody had some really good catches. You know, just really good to see these guys kind of growing and finding a place in this team and helping to contribute.
Well, we've kind of talked about where it was at the beginning. We know where it was at the end as far as on the scoreboard. How did it get there, Matt? Break it down quarter to quarter.
Sure. First quarter was scoreless. The Bears, though, on their first drive, did get into Cascade territory, but there was a missed field goal there. So 0-0 there after the first quarter. Cascade was first on the board. The touchdown in the second quarter, it was a 69-yard touchdown. And then the PAT was blocked by Jeff Bowie. 6-0 at half. Right before the half, though, another West Branch missed field goal. Third quarter, Cascade extends their lead to 13-0 on a pick six. In Cascade territory, Gavin Hirschman just throwing an out route, about 10-15 yard out route, I think it was, and defensive back from Cougar defensive back just read it perfectly, and took it in the end zone for pick six. And then again, still in the third quarter, this is when Cascade got up 21-0, 7 yard rush to go up, 21-0. Fourth quarter is where the Bears started to try and mount a comeback. Gavin Hirschman hands the ball off to Andy Henson for a 10-yard gain for a touchdown. Andy Henson's first touchdown of the season. Cale Federlin's extra point was good, so 21-7 at that point. Bears get the ball back again, get in the end zone again. Andy Henson gets in the end zone again, this time on a pass from Hirschman, and again, 7 yards. A lot of repetition there. Cale Federlin's PAT was good too. So 21-14. Bears were having another drive right there at the end of the game, but couldn't quite finish it out. So that's how we ended up 21-14.
And again, like I said at the beginning of this podcast, the journey of the drive sometimes when you're in a car, you're like, oh, it's going to be a long drive. Pretty boring. But then as you're getting closer, it gets more exciting and more exciting. That's kind of how I felt. I was kind of going on vacation with my family. The long drive to get there, this is not fun. But then when you're getting closer, you start to think about the things you want to do. Well, West Branch put themselves in a hole on Friday and dug itself out, gave itself an opportunity. And I guess, for lack of a better way of saying it, Stephen, when the situation was 21-0, that's about all you can ask for. Gave yourself an opportunity.
And that's why I say, I mean, you got to be completely impressed, especially with a young team where it would have been very easy going into that fourth quarter to say, you know, great job, guys. You know, we're going to get back to the practice field. Let's just kind of mail it in and see where we're at. But they didn't. I mean, they said, hey, there's still 12 minutes on that clock. Let's see what we can do. And I mean, in all honesty, a lot of that came in the last 6 minutes. I mean, it was like 5.5 minutes left when we scored that first touchdown. And then, you know, get the stop, get the ball back, score another touchdown, get the stop, get the ball back, and get awfully darn close to scoring again. So,
And we even had that drive right before our first touchdown where we ended up getting intercepted in the end zone too. So, I mean, they were right there in that fourth quarter. They did everything they could to make it a game.
Well, a few stats we can talk about, and then we will try to wrap this one up, this game, before we move on to the next one, Matt. Couple things I want to bring out. You know, I always love those fun key stats that you're not thinking about. Those beyond the numbers. They're numbers, but you're not really thinking about them stats that may have been a key. Last week at West Liberty, we talked about the offensive output of one player compared to the team. I brought up Josiah Galvan. I gave two numbers. This week, I'm going to give you 14 and 14. Steven, what is that?
14 and 14. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Number of penalties for each team?
Number of penalties for West Branch and the number of points West Branch scored.
Okay.
14 penalties, if you have 14 penalties, unfortunately, you're more than likely usually going to come up on the short end of the stick. And unfortunately for West Branch, I mean, some of those penalties were probably a precursor to Cascade getting themselves a little closer to scoring. But then also another stat, you look at it like this. West Branch outgained. They held Cascade, a team that had averaged 400 yards, wasn't like 398 yards a game through their first 2 weeks, held them to 228 yards.
Yep.
Yeah.
And forced three turnovers.
And yet, unfortunately, came up on the short end of the sticks. But, Steven, you pointed this out in your early montage here, your vocal montage, as you said this. This team, you liked what you saw and from week two to week three. Perhaps we go back to that old edge of, for this season, I think perhaps West Branch saw some growth more from week two to week three, I think, obviously, than week one to week two.
Yeah, I think that's right. And, you know, I just feel like seeing them at practice last week, knowing this group of guys, that, you know, it's going to be that adage of, you know, we're getting 1% better per day. So we're going to see growth from week three to four and four to five and five to six and six to seven. And then hopefully to eight to nine to 10 and so forth and so on. So,
yeah. And Matt, we have a couple numbers, even in a loss, we had a couple of school records, I think, that got knocked off last week.
Yeah, two that I know for sure. They're both kind of the same thing, but one being a team passing attempts in a game and individual passing attempts in a game. Gavin Hirschman threw 49 passes and completed 29 of them. And the 29 is also a record, correct, Jason?
Yes, it is.
Looks like
he actually tied Bo Cornwell's record when in the first game of the season, he completed 23, which tied Cornwell from 2 years ago at Maquoketa Valley. But, of course, the 29 completions are going to overtake that.
Yeah, I mean, that looks like a Jared Goff NFL type of stat line. You know, 29 of 49 for 285, you know.
That's kind of almost what Matt Ryan was today in the Falcons game. I know he threw 49, that's for sure.
Yeah, Matt Ryan, he throws the ball a lot too. So, yeah. I mean, speaking of Gavin, you know, it was good to see him back out there, you know. He missed the first half a week of practice last week, but, you know, came in the tail end of the week and was able to start this game. And I thought he looked pretty good. You know, he was somewhat limited in his leg motion. You could kind of see that when he was trying to scramble around a little bit. But, you know, I thought he looked pretty crisp with his passes. And, you know, despite maybe the limited mobility with his leg, he was still able to maneuver the pocket a good amount as well to try and make some throws. So good to see him back out there, hopefully he can get that knee healed up.
Yeah, 29 of 49, that still works out to what, about 64% or something like that?
Yeah, roughly 60%.
Yeah, so you're looking at a guy that's still completing 62-64% of his passes on 59 from the last game.
Yeah, technically, yeah.
But 29 out of 4. Go ahead.
He's 64 on the season, yeah.
64 on the season.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you one person who does not want to see 49 passes thrown in a game again. That's probably his father, offensive coordinator John Hirschman. Because if you're throwing 49 passes in a high school game, which, by the way, that completely obliterated the amount of passes thrown by the previous record holder, Jamie Lasjack. You got to go all the way back to 1988. The last time you saw a quarterback throw 34 or more passes.
85.
1985?
Yep.
Against Clear Creek, right?
Clear Creek, yep. The team threw 36, Jamie threw 34.
Well, here's the scoop on that one. That night, it was a very similar night, except it was raining and they played on a grass field. And the Bears were trailing and they had to just chuck. They were playing chuck and duck with the ball all night to play catch up. And he was 19 of 34 that night. So, yeah, but you don't want to see a guy throw 49 passes. 30 passes, maybe. I think that's a fair number, as we saw in the first week. But anyway, 21-14, the final. The Bears had some good hopefully can build on that momentum from the end of the game. You could hear it in Gavin's voice, and you could hear it in Andy's interview as well with Ryan Merkin of yourprepsports.com. Check his articles out at the end of games. He does a great job of covering local sports. I think you guys could probably agree with that as well.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep. See, that was easy. In unison, even. And they both gave some wonderful quotes. And I mean, I was listening to them right next to them. And when you hear Gavin talk, it's basically like hearing Dad talk. I mean, he's a really good interview. And, you know, in parlance, for those that when you say it's a good interview, when you say someone is a good interview, they're a good quote. Steven, what does that mean?
It means that you like talking to them.
That means good,
succinct answers.
Exactly. Rather than, they're really good and they're just smart. They did a, it's Gavin does a good job, and I think he's been coached up well by his dad, not just on the field, but off. So 21-14, the final. The Bears fall to 1-2 overall, 0-1 in the district. And speaking of district play, how about a District 5 check-in, man? How about scores from around the district last week?
Sure, yeah. First one of the season here for a District 5 check-in now that we're in district play. Yes. Beckman knocked off Northeast Goose Lake 37-7. Durant beat Wilton 35-28. And, of course, Cascade beat West Branch 21-14. So how we're looking in the district, of course, everyone's either going to be 1-0 or 0-1. So at 1-0, we have Durant, Cascade, and Beckman, with Durant being 3-0 overall in the season, Cascade at 2-1, and Beckman at 1-1. I believe is their first week that they missed because of some COVID concerns. So they are one game down compared to everybody else in the district. And then Northeast, West Branch, and Wilton all at 0-1. And 1-2 overall.
Well, you got to give Durant some credit. They lost a fair amount of talent at the skill positions, the second tier skill positions, Stephen. They certainly lost a boatload of talent, size wise for sure. Up front, Big Joe Lilienthal is now over at Iowa State University playing football. So they had a lot to replace from a team that was a playoff qualifier last year. In Class A, moving up to 1A, now they're 3-0, and they are the head of the district as far as the overall record, Matt and Steven. So they're going to be one to look out for as we go forward. The Bears will see them in 2 weeks, or three, well, week six.
Six, yep.
So hopefully the Bears can get something going before then, one game at a time. And that game, before we even get into that, let's hear from the Fullwider Insurance Agency.
Have you reviewed your insurance lately? Contact the Fullwider Insurance Agency to set up a free insurance review of your policies. We offer personal, commercial, life, health, and crop insurance to protect all aspects of your life. As trusted choice independent agents, we can work with multiple companies to find the best coverages at the most competitive prices. Call 643-2695 to speak to one of our agents. Supporting the West Branch Bears for over 50 years, the Fullwider Agency, where your insurance is our assurance.
Wilton and West Branch played a lot of games through the years, boys, in the Eastern Iowa Hawkeye Conference, all the way up through 1991 before district play began in 1992. They've played each other a few times in district play. It's been a few years. But as they said in Celebrity Deathmatch, let's get it on. It's time to move on to district play. Both teams coming off a loss, as Matt just talked about, Durant beating Wilton 35-28, West Branch, of course, losing to Cascade 21-14. Both teams need to find a little bit of identity, not just on the field, but in the win-loss column. And somebody has to win this game, because the loser of this game is going to be behind the eight ball even more. Because if you're 0-2 in a five-team district, to win the district is a very long task. Of course, congratulations, you're both in the playoffs. But a district championship would be nice to have on the mantle. As we look into this game, when you think of Wilton, Stephen, I'll go to you first. What do you think of?
Well, it's where my sister-in-law went to school, so I always think of that first, because that's where my nephew is going to be playing in a couple of years. And oh, you're talking on the field. Sorry. No.
Well, that too. Whatever you want. Whatever gets you through.
No. I mean, it's Wilton. I mean, it's just... It's always one of those games that you know that they're going to come out ready to play. They're going to be amped up. You know, years ago, they maybe had been down a little bit, but these last 6, 8, 10 years, they've really been coming on strong again. They were down last year, a lot of that due to some injury and some of the seniors that they had lost. But, you know, for the most part, this is going to be one of those games that we're going to have to be ready from that first whistle.
Yeah. And Matt, the Bears and the Beavers have not... matched up since 2015. 55-14 was the final in that. If I recall, there was a quarterback that set a school record in the first half with 5 touchdown passes, I believe, that night.
Yeah.
Cooper Koenig.
Yeah, I remember that game.
A spectacular catch at the end of the first half along the West Branch sidelines by Matt Shavard. A nice juggling catch, got 1 foot in, touchdown at the end of the first half. 55-14 that final, but So, you know, through the years, though, I want to go back to 1988, and I'll throw it to you. The Bears have had their way with Wilton, but recent history, they kind of traded punches through the district from 2012 to 2015.
Yeah, I mean, the last two times we've played them, you know, we put up, you know, 50-something points, and they haven't allowed, or we haven't, West Branch defense hasn't allowed much, but it's not going to be the case this coming Friday. I mean, Wilton's got a... they're putting out a pretty decent team out there on the field, you know, and a good majority of their production is going through the, I think it's Savelle or Savelle?
Savelle, yeah.
Savelle.
Yeah, the Savelle brothers. I assume they're brothers. I've seen pictures
identical
of them together,
twins
and they look exactly exactly alike, so I'm assuming they're brothers. Yeah, like I said, they're the majority of their production on offense. The quarterback, Caleb, throwing for over 400 yards this season, 3 touchdowns to 5 interceptions. But he can run the ball as well. He's also their leading rusher on the team with 4 touchdowns and almost 300 yards through just the first 3 games. So kind of that dual threat, he can throw it. I think he's just over 50% passing. So he can throw it, he can run it. He's a danger there too. And then his brother Colby, leading receiver on the team. So, you know, the main guy that he throws to, just like they've been doing probably in the backyard since they were, as Coach Peterson likes to say, knee-high to a grasshopper.
Since they was youngins.
Yes, yeah. Youngins. But yeah, Colby, leading receiver on the team, has over 200 yards on just 15 receptions, so that's 14 yards a reception. So if once they connect, it's, you know, that's a first down and a half. and Colby, too, is also their punter and punt returner. So definitely need to watch out for those two kids, but another guy to watch out for, Gage Rosenkild, who's averaging 25 yards per kick return. And then just last week against Durant, had an 86-yard kickoff return for a touchdown. I believe it was right after Durant's first score of the game. So.
Yeah, that game started right with bat. First play from scrimmage was a 60-yard touchdown for Durant.
Yes.
And then Wilton returns the ensuing kickoff back 85 mm-hmm. yards or whatever it was for a touchdown.
Yeah, so. It was a fun game to watch, to be honest with you. Lot, you know, at least on the kind of the skill position area, they've got some weapons we need to watch out for.
Speaking of the skill positions, Jason, 215, 280, 285, 215, 315.
Yikes.
You beat me to the punch on that. I'd say there's some good beef. Eastern Iowa beef on that line.
Yeah. And the thing that's impressive is sometimes you'll see guys like that. And it's like, but you know, they're just kind of big bodies out there and they don't really move. No, they, based on the offense that they run, they are mobile. They can get around, you know, they're not afraid to get out there and lead the charge on some of these. And so, you know, something that you got to be paying attention to, because there's some big boys that are still somewhat athletic too. So,
yeah, we talked about Caleb Savelle, Matt, you talked about him running the ball last game against Durant. He was their leading rusher, 175 yards rushing from your quarterback. That's not something you're expecting, but man, that you'll take that every week if you can get it. You'll take half of that every week if you can get it.
Yeah. I think there are two keys that I have to this game for West Branch if they want to win this. The first one being win the special teams battle. And it kind of plays into the defense aspect too for West Branch, but with what I'm about to say, they're going to kind of go together, as you'll see. But Wilton has not kicked a single PAT this season. They have also not kicked a field goal. So when they score touchdowns, they're going for two. And if they get across the 50, you know, get into opponent territory, it's four down territory until they get to the end zone. So West Branch, specifically the defense, is going to have to really, at the goal line, you know, if they allow Wilton to score at the goal line, only let them walk away with 6 points. Don't let them walk away with 8, because at the end of the night, that's going to add up. But if they get onto your side of the field, stop it there, because they're not going to kick it, and they're not going to stop until they get in the end zone or you take the ball from them. So that's going to be one key for West Branch there. The other one for West Branch on offense, in some of the film I've watched, Wilton likes to, they're very aggressive on defense, and that mm-hmm. sometimes leads to some overcommitting from their guys, from both in the backfield trying to tackle somebody in the backfield, or even in the secondary, trying to pick off passes or undercut them or whatever it may be. So let them overcommit, but take advantage of it. West Branch is really going to have to take advantage of those two things and make Wilton execute perfectly, both on offense and on defense. And if you make them execute perfectly, it's going to be a tough game. But if you can catch them off guard, I think West Branch has a shot here.
Steven?
Matt sums it up pretty well, yeah.
Yeah. Well, what are possibly some other things we can look at into this game that might be keys to the kingdom of victory?
Well, like Matt said, you know, they overcommit, and, you know, based on numbers that I've pulled from their first few games, you know, they're giving up 276 yards per game on the ground. So, you know, for a West Branch offense that has been struggling to move the ball on the ground, evidenced by Gavin throwing 49 times last week, you know, this could be an opportunity for that offensive line to put some things together, for Andy Hinson to start to gain some confidence and hopefully move some things forward. And then I think the other key, though, is special teams. You know, they had a kickoff return last week. A couple weeks ago, they had a punt return for a touchdown. So, you know, sometimes if you don't have the kicking game, you got to rely on the return game. And so we're going to have to make sure that our coverage guys staying in your lanes, stay wrapped up, make sure that you're breaking down, and, you know, get those kickers to get some height so that those guys can get down there and make a play so that you're not allowing them a shorter field to work with to where it is easier for them to say, yeah, we are going to go for it instead of maybe having to punt it away here.
You know, in the kicking game, one thing I mentioned or one thing I noticed against Durant last week was they had three of their, I don't know, five kickoffs, six kickoffs, something like that, were kind of pseudo onside, really short, kind of squib mm-hmm. kick kind of looking things.
And I don't know if some of that was because of the rain or if that's just by design.
Well, yeah, that's what I was kind of wondering too, because I went back and looked at their games against Highland and Lisbon in week one and week two, and they didn't do that at all.
Well, no disrespect too, real quick, is we've played many games at Durant, and a lot of times they let that grass grow a little bit.
Yep.
And if it's wet and thick, the foot might get a little caught in the grass. You never know.
Yeah. It's just, it's kind of something strange I noticed. I mean, even their first kickoff of the game, actually their first two, I think it was, were, those weird kind of short squib onside looking kind of kicks. And then they did it, once later in the game at Durant too. So something to potentially watch out for, you know, with, I can't recall how they keep their field there in Wilton,
They do a good job.
Yeah, I know they do, but I can't imagine we'll see that again. But just, you know, kind of something to watch out for just in case it is a strategy type thing.
Well, to pile on here, you guys, both of you put more emphasis on that one side of the field. I think I heard defense. So let's talk West Branch defense here for a little bit, because obviously it's going to play a big role. West Branch threw three games defensively, has only given up 14 points per game. Now, I know you're going to start going to your calculator. It seems like it's more than that, but I'm taking away the pick six. It's right on the number. If you take the pick six away, the interception return away in the last game, West Branch has offered 42 points to its opponents as a defense. If you're only going to give up two scores per game, sooner or later, that is going to work in your favor. And in that favor, I look at it like this, looking statistically now, in deeper into individual and sort of as it works into West Branch team statistics, interceptions for these two teams through three games. West Branch's defense has four interceptions. Wilton's defense has zero. Wilton's quarterback, perhaps one of the things that he may not do as well, he might be a little bit loose, or as one of my friends would say, he might be a little cavalier throwing that football. He has five interceptions He has thrown five interceptions through three games. West Branch's defense has collected four of them. So perhaps this might play a role down the line. If you get into a situation, you got to win that first down battle to get a team into throwing situations, put a little pressure on them, and maybe West Branch can add to their total. That's where I see a big key to this game. West Branch, keep that defense rolling. If you can hold a team to 14 points, the offense is soon, they're going to catch up. And I think you can start to see things on the debit side column and the win-loss instead of the credit side more.
Yeah, I think, you know, to go along with that, Jason, you know, as you said, sooner or later, you have to assume this West Branch offense is going to start finishing drives. And, you know, we started to see that there in the fourth quarter Friday against Cascade. And hopefully we can take that momentum and take those positive things that we saw there and roll that into here this coming Friday night.
Well, next up, it's pick stick click time. Before we get into that, though, we're going to build it up with our sponsor, Hodge Construction.
Hodge Construction is a leader in developing commercial and academic spaces, multifamily condos, townhomes, and more. Hodge Construction began in Iowa City in 1981, focusing on residential construction. Through positive relationships and quality projects, Hodge has continued to grow and expand its project diversity over the past nearly 40 years. At Hodge, clients aren't customers, they are partners.
Picks to click. Well, we don't need to review who we picked last week, do we? Because in the end, West Branch didn't win. So, you know, that's the key thing here that we all want. But it's up to you. Well, it's up to you, man. I leave it to you.
I will say, so Jason, you had the Dylan Butler. I had Annie Henson and Stephen had Peyton Miller. And so...
So he'll want to talk about him because I used
my one-timer. So
me? I don't.
I use my one-timer, so I'm kind of inclined to say that I got that one with Andy. I mean, he's had two touchdowns.
I'd say he got in the books. By the way, you said it's his first touchdown of the year. No, those were his first two touchdowns as a varsity football player.
Too, really?
Yeah, he's a sophomore.
I was thinking he'd gotten in last year, but I guess I was wrong.
I actually had to go back and check the stats on that. I won't lie. While Matt was saying it was his first touchdown of the season, I actually looked it up, and he did not score last year, rushing touchdown. But I'm glad that he got it in last week, and hopefully that's a sign of things to come. Hopefully that offensive line can find some continuity, Steven, from alignment. You get to choose that stuff. But when we get into line talk, we just defer to you here. And they did some great things, but it's still a work in progress, that offensive line. They're going to be a work in progress each and every game because you got a few new moving parts, replacement parts from last season. And I think I want to point out a kid that I think has done a pretty good job on the whole. It's Trey Schutte.
Yeah.
May not get his name said a lot, but I think as a kid that's never seen a varsity offensive start, barely seen any varsity time, to be thrown into a varsity center position, where he's got to touch the ball on every play, done a pretty good job.
I would agree. And
have there been any fumbled snaps yet this year?
Not that I can recall.
That means the center's doing a pretty decent job.
So is that your pick to click, Jason? Because you're last this week.
Well, I'll give you my pick to click when we get there, Matt. You're first. Okay.
All right. I just wanted to make sure you weren't jumping the gun.
Nope, wouldn't do that.
Okay.
Nope.
For the second week in a row, I'm taking a one-timer. And it's Cale Federlin, and I think he's going to bounce back this week. You know, rough outing Friday up at that turf field with the rain and wind and all sorts of new and crazy conditions for Cale. He's not one to miss, and I think he's going to be pretty upset by that, and he's going to take that to heart, and he's going to bounce back this week. And, you know, if we get into field goal positions, I trust him 100%, 110% to nail it and do his job. And I think he's going to do that. And, you know, he's going to continue that trend of him being the leading tackler on defense. I think all 3 weeks so far, he's been the leading tackler. So he's big integral part to this team. And I think he's going to bounce back this Friday.
What do you have last week? 14 tackles?
Oh, something absurd like that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's almost old school Ricky Fountain sort of thing where Ricky and Johnny Osendorf from West Liberty would get 20 to 30 every week.
Yeah, he had 7.5 total.
But 7.5? Okay.
And a tackle for a loss, too.
All right. I think Steven's up next.
Yes, he is.
I am... I'm going to go... Jeez, I could just... There's so many different ways. That's my problem because I like these guys so much.
Well, there are just a lot of playmakers on this team, you know?
Yeah. I'm going to use one of my one-timers. I'm going to go with Gavin.
Okay.
Any color to that?
Who's he?
just got a good feeling.
All
right. You know who my pick to click is this week? Carver Belk. No, I don't need any background. I don't need any chatter on it. I'm just picking Carver Belk. I think he's going to find the end zone. And I think if there's an interception or two or more to be had out there, he's going to be the man for the job to get one of them. Carver Belk. You know, I don't want to close this. I don't want to finish our podcast without bringing a name up. Matt, we were talking a little bit earlier about the historical matchup and how the Bears had won the last two games in 2015 and 2014. If you go back a few years before that, at the Little Rose Bowl, a regular season opponent rushing record yardage, 296 yards. A young running back had, actually he was a senior, for the Wilton Beavers. 296 yards at the Little Rose Bowl in a Wilton victory on the road that year. The only person to ever have more rushing yardages at yards than West Branch. At the Little Rose Bowl against West Branch, obviously, would be who?
Eric Grunder.
Well, Grunder was the man I'm talking about with the 296.
Trent who had Johnson. More than that?
Trent Johnson had what, 355?
Dyke New Hartford.
I've kept that game out of my memory.
But Eric Grunder, my good friend, Mr. Grunder, a teacher and coach at Wilton, 296 his senior year. It's a lot of yards. His father, my dentist, Dr. Grunder, was the statistician that night. So I'm wondering if there's a little doctoring. Now, I can tell you right now, from being at that game, there was no doctoring. It was legit. Grunder was a legitimate athlete. He's a good guy. Look forward to seeing him Friday. But I'm not looking as forward to seeing him as I am to seeing all these people out there. Perhaps they can't make it to the game on Friday and they want to follow along. They want to follow on the social medias. All those platforms, Stephen. What are they?
Twitter.com is at WB Bears Football. The Gram, Instagram.
Off of the Gram, they love the Gram.
At WB Bears Football. Facebook, just type in West Branch Football. You can find it there. Lots of great pictures and videos and links and everything else. Follow us on our YouTube channel. Look for our highlights there. Of course, just go to the westbranchfootball.com website. There's, you know, some good information available there. And if you're listening, maybe for the first time, and you say, you know, these guys really aren't that bad. Well, sorry that we got you fooled somehow, but if you want to listen to us again, you can subscribe. Listen in with Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whichever one it is that Matt listens to this week, because I can never keep him straight because he knows all this other technology stuff. But click like, subscribe, follow. Matt usually puts show notes out there because he understands more. I can turn the computer on and hit record and make sure my microphone's plugged in. He does the rest, makes us sound even better than we think we sound, and you can listen to us every week. So there you go.
And all those platforms and all those possibilities and all the information that we have on westbranchfootball.com would not be possible, Matt, with generous gifts from our sponsors. And those would be...
The Talking Bear Football Podcast for the 2020 season is presented by Barnhart's Custom Services, Cornerstone Real Estate Consultants, Corridor Drywall, EMS Detergent Services, Fidelity Bank and Trust, the Fullwider Insurance Agency, Hodge Construction, the Hoover Presidential Foundation, Liberty Communications, Main Street Suites, Marcy Willier with Urban Acres Real Estate, Touched by Power, and the West Branch Times.
Coming off a pair of losses, I'm not going to give you any historical information on this because I got a good feeling about Friday night. That's no disrespect to a great guy, nice guy, Coach Ryan Hetzler, who was on Coach Peterson's Shrine Bowl staff a couple years ago when Coach Peterson was the head coach of the Iowa Shrine Bowl. Coach Hetzler was one of the first guys he called to be on his staff. Nice young guy, good, one of the good young coaches in the game, in the sport in Eastern Iowa and all over the state. Ryan Hetzler got some good things going at Wilton. But I got a good feeling that we aren't going to have to talk about, you know, two in a row is just back-to-back. Three in a row, that'd be a streak. Let's just hope we get to 2-2. And let's hope that comes next Friday at Wilton. And we're going to get to review all that, all the fun, all that was, all that is, all that will be next episode of the Talking Bear Football Podcast.
Right here on westbranch.football.
Take everyone.care.
That's real.
Everyone.com.
It's real. West Branch, you can go to westbranch.football.
Yeah. Wow. But we're going to say,
take care, everyone.